from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
We're having an absolute blast today. That was one of my favorite segments we've done in a while. What the hell is in Nick Callis's wallet? You can go back on your rewind feature. That word was rewind.
rewind.
I want to rewind. Go back on your rewind feature on your Odyssey app, AUDACY, your Odyssey app, and listen to what we found in Nicholas Harry Callis's wallet, including a Splash Lagoon arcade gift card.
I'm going to give it to my kids.
Yes, you never know when you're going to go back.
Right. What?
We are joined right now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years, by Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris, good morning, man. How's it going?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're
great.
Outstanding. Yes. Flying by this Friday show, Chris. And I'll just start you off with a fastball here. Ryan Clark said he thinks Justin Fields is going to win the Steelers' starting job and lead them to the playoffs. Do you think if Justin Fields started day one and played all 17 games that he could lead the Steelers to the playoffs?
It doesn't matter what I think. The Steelers are going to be leading off with Russell Wilson. Once he gets in there, I'll say this too, Adam. I've been noting, and it's not like, you know, foretelling the entire future of Russell Wilson with the Steelers. But when he's been in there, I don't think he's missed a pass yet. Like when he played, he did some 7-on-7 and they were throwing the ball down the field. Every pass he threw was caught for a first down, not just caught, but caught for a first down. He's been, you know, slowly being integrated. I think what the Steelers are simply doing now for Justin Fields, they are getting their eyes on him. They're letting him practice with them to see, hey, what are your mechanics? And Justin Fields even admitted at that Tuesday this week where I thought he had the best practice he had so far throughout training camp. He's like, hey, I need to work on my mechanics. I'm trying to get sharper. I'm trying to get more consistent. And I think he's getting there. I think he's making progress. But I think he's making the progress to try to get to the point where Russell Wilson already is. And that's smooth, understanding, knowing where he's supposed to go with the football, you know, not having to worry about consistency, about putting his accuracy in certain parts. And I think that once Russell Wilson is a full go and the Steelers aren't trying to ease him into things back after his injury at the start of training camp, I think it will be pretty clear who's the starting quarterback. However, I do think that Justin Fields has made the case that if Russell Wilson goes down, he could be really good once he goes in. And then that might be where a controversy starts if Russell Wilson does get injured during the season.
So you say he really hasn't missed a pass, and I can't help but think about Arthur Smith. How has he looked and how has he operated throughout this first week of training camp? And it seems like the offense as a whole is understanding the rhyme or reason what they're doing for the first time in a long time. How's Arthur Smith just handling everything, and how does he look in the atmosphere?
Well, he got to speak to Pittsburgh media during camp yesterday, and there is definitely a message, right, Doran? Like, you know, we talked about this last year. We were in, like, late November, and we were talking to the Steelers offensive players, and they're like, yeah, we're not sure what our identity is. And that's never a good sign when you're that far into a season, and you're like, ah, we don't know what we're supposed to look like. However, this in training camp, there's no question. And I even saw it in the first day in pads when they went live and they did a run period. They were just running the football. Every time Najee Harris got the football, he was going 5 yards. And also, I'll put this out there. The Steelers are not putting T.J. Watt out there every snap when they're doing this because they don't need to see T.J. Watt. They're letting Nick Herbig get more snaps. They're letting guys like Jeremiah Moon get more snaps. That's your Marcus Golden will be in on that very soon after signing him. I think the offense looks pointed. I think the offense has a direction it's going, and I think that there's a collective feel that there's going to be some improvement there. I even asked on the first day of camp, Pat Freiermuth got a whole bunch of targets, and I asked him, was that a relief? Because all you talked about was during OTAs and mini camp was, they're saying I'm being a bigger part of the offense, and he looked at me and he was like, it was a relief because like now it's like I'm actually feeling it. So I think there's some relief all around that Arthur Smith has this offense at least pointed collectively in a direction. And so far, I think it could be the right direction.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Is Beanie Bishop good or is he just the best of a crop of not so good?
Adam, I think Beanie Bishop is good.
Let's go.
I think he's good. I think he's creating space. I see Doran's face over there. And Doran, yeah, hey, listen, man, I get it. It's the backyard brawls in just a month.
He didn't have to. He didn't have to just go all ridiculous like that.
It
we
has
know
nothing
he's doing
to do
good.
With West Virginia.
Yeah,
no,
does.
I just want Let's a good go. Slot corner. Yeah, I mean, okay. I miss Mike Hilton. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Like, totally. being honest, Beanie Bishop has looked good in camp. Now, here's the thing: he's going up again. Like the Steelers' wide receiver position might be the weakest as far as depth. So there's a chance that he hasn't seen the kind of talent that he's really going to have to go up against through most of this season if he is for sure the starting slot corner. But one of the things I look for in slot corners, Adam, is are you always in someone's hip pocket? Are you able to close the distance on them, press them at the line? When they're trying to make cuts, you're sticking with them. And for most of camp, that's what he's done. And I think he's put himself in the right position. He hasn't been afraid to get his face in somebody. I'm going to be looking for him in Friday Night Lights to see where he is in that practice because I want to see him also be physical. That's the other part that the Steelers absolutely want out of their slot corners. You can't just be a good cover man. You got to be able to come up and help. That's what Mike Hilton was a specialty at. Like that guy used to flatten Travis Kelce, who had like a full foot in height over him. That's where I think that Beanie Bishop has to step up there. But I think that he could very well do that. And the Steelers, what thought might be a huge controversy if they don't have a slot cornerback going into training camp, that might not be a controversy. But we still got to see him in games. He still has to prove it. But from what I've seen in training camp, I really like what Beanie Bishop is doing.
Your biggest step in your NFL career is from year one to year two. I think a lot of people know that. Mm-hmm. You got to make that big jump in year two. How much do you expect Nick Herbig to be a part of this defense this year? I'm sure he'll play special teams, and he was, you know, in there sparingly last year, made some big plays actually last year as a rookie, but in his second season, you got TJ Watt, you got Highsmith, and now you got Golden. You got this four guys back as at the rush ends that you had last year, but how much will, and do you think we will see Nick Herbig this year? And has he made an evident jump from year one to year two thus far in training camp?
Hey, it doesn't matter what I think. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers defense, they've got a plan to use him. And I think one thing that's different about Nick Herbig is that last year he used almost all finesse in what he did. He would show you his chest as a target for an offensive lineman. They try to punch his chest, and then he would use a ghost move and take it away. And then you couldn't get in contact. And then all of a sudden he's right at your shoulder, and now you're gonna have to probably hold him to stop him. He was so good at that last year, but now he's starting to implement more of the power moves along with the finesse moves. And I think that's where you're starting to see Nick Herbig get more consistent as an edge rusher. And I think that's part of what the Steelers have wanted to do by letting T.J. Watt rest throughout camp. And for those who are thinking like, oh, I haven't heard T.J. Watt enough in this camp, I remind them of like last year. I said that for like a day. And I remember like just there was one day where he like they put the full pads on. I remember I thought he was just staring off in the stands. I'm like, is he looking at me? I don't know if he's looking at me. And then the next like four plays of 11 on 11, he just sacked the quarterback, got two tackles for loss, and like tipped the pass that was intercepted. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's not resting. He's just resting. He's not, there's no actual problem with him. So don't think that TJ Watt is, there's any issue if he's not making a whole bunch of plays in training camp. They are wanting to see what Herbig has. And I do think Herbig has taken a step forward. And I also think it's going to be really interesting to see how, some of the different formations they want to use as the year goes on. They're probably going to have more formations when it comes to like third down, where Highsmith, Herbig, and Watt could all be out there. And with how athletic all three of those guys are, they could move them around, put them in situations that are tough to block, and that could make this defense very dangerous when getting after the quarterback.
Last thing here for Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Talk offensive linemen to us, Chris. What about those three rookies in particular?
I think Troy Faltano has had a fantastic camp. Broderick Jones last year was impressive because of his athleticism and his size, and it was just like, wow, that guy is big. He's going to have a really good future. Troy Faltano is just much more polished than where Broderick Jones was last year, and I think, I mean, it's natural because he played more games in college, and he's older, he's coming in with more experience. But you're seeing that result there. And it's not to say that, you know, his results in camp are going to translate immediately into the NFL, but right now, like when he lines up against TJ Watt, he doesn't look over his head. He's in there. He's locking in on his fundamentals. He's doing the right things. And there's sometimes TJ Watt gets him, but there's sometimes he's able to block him. And I'm like, if you're a rookie, being able to do that to TJ Watt in practice when they're going full strength, that's a really good sign. So I think Faltano's have been fantastic. I think Frazier has it's been more limited in what he's been able to show so far because they've only had a couple padded practices. And I think that's where Frazier's best moments are going to come, is when he gets to go one-on-one and physical and show, hey, I can move this guy out of the hall, or I can stymie this defensive tackle. So that's another guy I'll be looking for in Friday Night Lights, Zach Frazier. What does he do when, like, Keanu Benton lines up over the front of him? What does he do when DeMarvin Leal lines up over the front of him? The first padded practice, I thought DeMarvin Leal got the best of Zach Frazier, but again, he's a rookie. He's going to be learning. Mason McCormick, that dude, he's not going to start this year, but that dude looks mean. I like his demeanor. I like what he's been doing. I think that he's putting himself in the position where he can ride the bench for this year. He'll be able to back up either James Daniels or Isaac Seumalo if they go down. But I think what he's showing in camp has him on the trajectory to next year. He can be a starter on the offensive line, and you could be seeing like four out of five offensive linemen on next year's Steelers offensive line that's under the age of 25. And I think that would be really impressive for this group, because that's also what they want in revitalizing and bringing youth into this offense, but also making them a bully offense.
Chris, this was fun, man. Let's keep doing it. Appreciate you jumping on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks,
have Chris. Fun tonight, Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
See you, buddy. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. I love Friday Night Lights. The practice. So the way that they did it, like if you, back in the day, because the writers, the broadcasters, they don't stay in the dorms anymore. But when they did, you would get on the same buses that the players would get on, and they would purposely drive through Latrobe, and every house, and I mean every house, you're driving through the streets of Latrobe, people out on their front porches, decked out in Steelers gear, waving terrible towels, signs, and it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a college kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. And where, in high school, it's everything.
Right.
You got NFL players on a Friday night, and then the whole town, and everybody's going and cheering for a practice. You got the whole really gamut of football.
Yes. And the fans are packing the stands. I love it. Like, Austin Bechtold tweeted out, should I go to the Pirates game on Friday or should I go to Friday Night Lights? Bechtold's at, like, every Pirates game. I said, go to Friday Night Lights. It's such an awesome atmosphere. And I did want to ask you, was the most fun you had playing football? I don't know the answer to this. Was it high school? Was it college? Was it the NFL? Like, when were you having the most fun?
The high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, high school. I mean, because, you know, I grew up wanting to play for Wesley, you know, watching Tyler and watching all those guys win championships. And, you know, you have the same guys that you started football with, most of them, and then you get to be a junior or senior. You
grow up with them.
You grow up and you all have the same goal, and there's no money involved. There's no, you know, there's no politics really involved, and it's just the purest form of football. And you're just, everybody wants to play at Heinz Field. And that's why it's so unique of playing in the Whippeel too, just like anybody, because you get to play where the Steelers play. And that was always the goal. That was always the goal. And there's no better form of football. And not even close.
That's why Tomlin does it. I mean, because it gives you that, you're riding buses to the stadium.
Yep.
And it's awesome. I remember sitting behind Ben when ESPN came out to one of the Friday Night Lights, and Ben was off that day, and he may or may not have said he had a few Busch Lights during the day. He may or may not have said that. I'm not going to tell you, but he may or may not have said it. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's react to some of what Chris had to say. His report from training camp coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hall of Fame game last night got my gears spinning about Steelers who are not yet in the Hall of Fame, Doran, who may well belong in the Hall of Fame. Perhaps we can get to that coming up in about 12 minutes here.
All right.
If you would allow it.
Of course.
If you're okay with that.
Of course.
Good stuff from Chris Carter, who joined us in the last segment. Not the Minnesota Vikings Hall of Fame wide receiver, but the delightful man and Steelers / Pitt reporter at the Post-Gazette. And he isn't buying into any of the Justin Fields is going to be the Steelers starting quarterback mumbo jumbo. He said, and I quote, that I don't think when Russell Wilson has been in there, he's missed a pass yet. Callis, I know you're editing in the room back there. I feel like Doran and I are going to have to operate on a silent count. That is quite loud. It's very distracting. Yeah.
Doran pointed to me. I got the message.
Okay, very good. Just making sure I reiterate the message. Chris Carter said that he doesn't think when Russell Wilson has been in there, he's missed a pass yet. And he said he thinks that the Steelers are trying to get as much out of Justin Fields now to learn about Fields, to let Fields develop, but that he believes the second that they think Russ is healthy and out of the woods, he'll be the Steelers starting quarterback.
There's no doubt. Yeah. Like, I mean, unless there's an injury, like a significant injury, I mean, that's the only way I see Justin Fields becoming the starting quarterback. And, you know, I mean, obviously Ryan Clark has connections with the Steelers and, you know, knows the situation. I'm sure that he's been fed information that Justin Fields looks pretty good and they feel highly of him right now, as they should. But this was all, you know, just a situation where they are happy that it happened, but also at the same time, they are cautious that it's happening. Like, they're not happy that Russell Wilson got hurt, but they're also happy, like, look, we get to, you know, make our cake and eat it too. Like, we get to see what we need to see out of Justin Fields, while Russell Wilson, we already know, and he can sit back and rehab his injury. So, I you know, we're going to go back and forth about this every single week until...
Maybe every day.
Every day until the first, you know, until the Steelers take on the Falcons. But it's going to be Russell Wilson if he's healthy. Russell Wilson has an understanding of the offense. He's played a lot of football, and he just operates on a different level. And just, that was Chris that just said that, like, they're waiting to for Justin Fields to get to that level that Russell Wilson already operates at, even though he hasn't even practiced.
Right.
Like, he's not even there yet. So, if you do get Justin Fields to that level, you have two really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and he said he thinks they'll be at a place where if Russ were to go down with injury during the year, right, that they're working to a place where they're going to feel really good about Justin Fields at that moment. And he said that's how it would look. If Justin Fields were to be the starter at some point, it would be because Russ goes down and Justin Fields performs really well. Not that he thinks Russ is going to be bad, get benched, or anything like that. And stop me if you've heard this before. National media saying one thing about the Steelers, local media saying a different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Ray Fittipaldi on, we have Mark Caboli on, we love all our Steelers guys. They all seem to believe Russell Wilson is going to be the guy. I don't think Russell Wilson would be on the shelf if Kyle Allen were their backup. If Kyle Allen were their number two, you might have seen an extra day or so of Kyle Allen just to protect Russell Wilson and not lose your starting quarterback when you don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
Or exacerbate the problem. But I don't think you'd be going into tonight, which would be, what, day three in pads, and Kyle Allen still be the guy pulling the trigger.
Right.
I don't think that would be the case. He also talked about the offensive line. Everyone seems to be in love with Mason McCormick. If Mason McCormick's that good, seriously, why can't he be a starter? You just don't want to go with three rookies? I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. Three rookies day one. But the reviews about Mason McCormick from everybody we've talked to and everything I've read are through the roof on this guy.
Yeah, I think James Daniel, I mean, he did pretty good last year.
I agree.
You know, I mean,
maybe wire to wire, their most consistent guy, James Daniels last year?
For sure.
Yeah.
And you also want that guy, like, in between two rookies.
Yeah.
To help them, you know, to help on each side. Like, you got James Daniels at right guard, he's going to be able to help Zach Frazier. He's going to be able to help Faltanu. Like, you need to have some type of staple, some type of veteran, I believe, on the offensive line, especially if you have rookies on the opposite side, just to help them and move them forward. And then you could wait on Mason McCormick. And maybe, you know, I mean, like we were just saying, like with injuries, like Mason McCormick will be ready. I don't think that it's a learning curve for Mason McCormick, but it's never a learning curve whenever you're physical, if that makes sense. Like, usually that young players have a learning curve, or players that are going to their second or third year are still trying to figure out that learning curve, like George Pickens. I do believe that there is a learning curve. Not saying that he doesn't know things, but it is different playing in the slot, and you have to get used to that. But whenever you're a physical player, and especially a defensive or offensive lineman or a linebacker or a running back, the learning curve can kind of go out the window. If you know the play and you know that, you know where it's going, you just block the dude.
Well, you can't teach that.
Like, no, you can't.
Like Kendrick Green, he was never going to be strong.
Right.
He just wasn't. And I like Kendrick Green, the guy. I talked to him a fair amount. I really liked the guy. And I thought he might have he didn't want to play center. And I thought that he had the mental acumen to be able to do it, but when you get thrown around ragdoll, like, it ain't college. You ain't right. A freshman. You're not going to the cafeteria, and you don't have there is nutrition on a different level at the NFL, but you either have the toughness, the want-to, the size, or you don't. Mason McCormick, by all accounts, is a people mover. Center, learning curve. Tackles, learning curve. Guards, not as big, right? Because you have the interior responsibilities, but you're not having to identify things.
Right.
You just get off the ball and maul people.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, that's where he's at. He's just like, he relies on his physical nature of blocking, and that's what you want out of offensive lineman, though. Like, I mean, it's going to get interesting because James Daniel did play good last year, and he probably will play good this year, and you need a veteran there. But Mason McCormick, I mean, he's still competing for the job. Like, at the end of the day, even Mike Thomas says that everybody's competing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, he's definitely feeling that way. Right. He's got to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
If this line gels, and plays to its talent level. Because what it lacks in experience, it makes up for in talent. This team's going to be so easy to love for Steelers fans. And two mobile quarterbacks, one a lot more than the other in Justin Fields because he's in his athletic prime. Eagles. Got an Eagles feel to it. You can bust people's ass off the line and a quarterback that can run a little bit.
I wonder where this all came from.
Andy Weidel.
Interesting.
Lebo guy.
Yeah, great guy.
A great man, Andy Weidel.
Yes, he is. So is his family. So is his brothers.
All the Weidels.
All of them.
Big Weidel fan?
Yes.
All of them.
All of them.
Coming up next, we're big Cam Hayward fans on this show. Is Cam Hayward a Hall of Famer? Watch that game last night. All right, I lied. But the game was on last night, the Hall of Fame game, and I started thinking, okay, who are some Steelers that have a chance to get in? Obviously, there's Hines. Everyone wants to bring up Hines. Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, perhaps Hall of Fame adjacent. But what about Cam Hayward? We'll get into some of the stats. What do you think? Is Cam Hayward, in your mind, a Hall of Famer? 412-928-9370. Hall of Fame game last night. I did not watch a second of it. I thought I'd watch the first quarter, but we watched Simone Biles do Simone Biles things on tape delay in the Olympics, and my God, is she unbelievable. I think she's still in the air, actually.
She on her floor routine, I think a couple days ago, she got 12 feet in the air. So, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, that's the most insane thing I think I've ever seen. She's 4'8". Could she dunk? Because the basketball hoop is 10
foot. Wow.
Like, if she ran down a court and did, like, her flip routine, like, could she flip with a basketball and dunks? Probably, right?
Probably.
12 feet in the air.
Probably.
That's crazy.
So she's 4'8"?
4'8".
So basically, if you take her and put her on her shoulders and then put another her on her shoulder, she could just about jump over herself three times.
Yes.
That is incredible. And our ladies were like, nah, you guys aren't watching the Hall of Fame game. We're watching Simone Biles. So you said, okay, I'll find a way to watch it. I said, all right, I'll find a way to go to sleep because I know what happens, and I watched part of the Biles stuff in the afternoon. But with the Hall of Fame game on last night, it got me to thinking about some Steelers that aren't in the Hall that could get in the Hall. And I think TJ Watt's pretty much a sure thing.
Lock.
I think Russell Wilson's going to be close.
Yes.
I hope he doesn't play his way out of Hall of Fame status. But forget about him. I mean, you haven't seen him play in a Steelers uniform yet. Only seen him practice a little bit. Cam Hayward, is he a Hall of Fame player? And I Googled that. So Cam Hayward Hall of Fame ? And it took me to Steelers Depot, and I like Alex Cazora. I think he does a really good job, and he did a lot of this legwork here so that I don't have to. And here's what he wrote. There's a common theme among Hall of Famers in their production, hitting the 90 sack mark. According to the list on Pro Football Reference, among true interior defensive linemen, so not 4-3 DNs, there are 12 with at least 90 sacks. 8 of them are in the Hall. Another one of the guys not in the Hall never made a Pro Bowl. Now, Cam has been a multiple-time All-Pro. Another guy not in the Hall, Aaron Donald, we know will get in the Hall. So that'd be 9 of 12, and really, paring it down, 9 of 11, Cam Hayward's got 80 and a half sacks. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, Doran, that he could have 9.5 sacks this year if he stays healthy, which would then get him to 90. Plus, you've got a Walter Payton Man of the Year. I think Cam could get in. 6-time Pro Bowl, 3-time All-Pro. I think he could get in. I think the thing that ultimately holds him back is the lack of Steelers playoff success. So, he has played in 8 playoff games. They're 1-7. And he's only got 1 sack in those 8 playoff games. Will that keep him out?
No.
Because he's a defensive lineman.
Right.
Yeah.
No. And the eras. Like, he's playing in 2 different decades. And I think that, and I don't know, but I would think that it would take into account, like, how the decades go, or even every 6 years, you know, football, NFL football changes. So I feel like if you can be consistent, and have the longevity and stay somewhat healthy and keep putting up the consistent numbers throughout different decades, throughout different evolutions of the NFL, I think that that'll help him as well. I mean, he's going on almost a half a decade of being in the 2020s. and he started in 2011.
Yep.
So, you know, you do that across almost two decades. I think that, and then you hit that threshold of 90. I don't think that anything really keeps him out. I really don't.
What if he doesn't get to 90? What if he gets to like 83, 84, and gets hurt this year? Do you think that changes things?
I think it may just push it down the road a little bit longer.
Yeah. I don't think of him as a first ballot guy. His career has been weird. It took him a little bit of time to get going, and injuries happen when you get older.
He also was sitting behind guys, too.
I know. And how many times with LeBeau, with John Mitchell, the defensive line coach, did they talk about how hard it is to break in with what they were doing on the defensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did not want young guys to come in and play right away.
Right.
And they had the bodies ahead of them so that they didn't have to come in and play right away, but it was also not an easy thing. It was quite complex what they were asking those guys to do. I think the shift away from that style has helped Cam significantly. Now, and he was a driving force behind that. I mean, they used to do two gap, and now it's just go get the quarterback. And it was not that way for the Brett Kiesels of the world. It was not that way for the Aaron Smiths of the world.
Right. They're more of like, all right, suck up blocks so everybody else can make plays.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, we just talked about Casey Hampton the other day. Like, his job was to just, I mean, how many sacks did they say he had in his career? Like 8 or something?
It was less than 10 for sure.
It was less than 10 because his job wasn't to get the quarterback. It was to suck up the blocks so the linebackers can go make
plays. 9
sacks,
Storm.
9, yeah. So, you're right. That's a good point because the style of play definitely changes. Like, all right, Cam, like, just get after it. Then just, hey, take on double teams.
I think you can leave a good taste in the voters' mouths, too, if you finish strong to your career. And I think he should be thinking about this. The best chance for him to continue to be great is here. I know he has said he wants to play a few more years, and if that takes him outside of Pittsburgh, so be it. His best chance to be great, I still think, is here.
But what if he does go somewhere else and wins?
That's true, too.
You know, like, that's the gamble. Like, okay, like, does my
that's a great
does my
point.
Resume of the Steelers get me in? Or if I go to, like, I don't even know, somewhere like even like Jacksonville, and then all of a sudden they get hot and they win like some crazy way.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up winning one, then that'll get him in. I don't know. I think that also what's in his favor, like, how many interior defensive linemen are 35-plus that have made the Hall of Fame?
Like guys who still put up numbers at that age?
Right. Like, there's, I mean, they're usually, like, younger. Like, Aaron Donald's retired. Like, he's, what, 32?
I think Cam Hayward will be the oldest non-quarterback starting in the NFL.
Like, it's very rare to see a guy that's 6'5", 300-plus pounds that has played, what year? I don't even know, teens of years and is still playing at a high level at 35. I don't remember an interior lineman that has played significant in high production defensively.
Yeah, like Warren Sapp and guys like that, they totally fell off.
Right.
They totally fell off. If you think about Cam Hayward's first couple of years, okay, so he's not starting. And then his third year, he has 5 sacks. His fourth year, 7.5, then 7, then 3. So his first, bear with me here, his first 5 years of his career, he had 25 sacks. Not an awful number. That's the first 5. You go with the last 5, or hell, the last 4, he's got 26.5 sacks. You go his last 5 years and compare them to his first half. His last 5 years, 35.5 sacks. In his first 5, he had 25 sacks.
Hmm.
That is kind of wild.
Yes.
And that's all after 30.
Yes.
So 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, he had 36.5 as compared to the 25 his first 5 years. At that physically demanding of a position, and while we've seen bits and pieces where he'll be nicked up, 2017, 15 games, 16, 15, 16, 17, 17, and then last year, the anomaly 11, and really, he probably shouldn't even have been out there in the second half.
At 35, 36 years old, if he gets 10 sacks this year and he breaks that threshold of 90, he's going to be in.
Yeah.
There's no question, right, at that age. If he does that this year, I think this is a pivotal year for him in that realm, in that you know, way of etching your way to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
If he does it again this year, like, there's no question, I think.
I think he'll get to 90. I don't think he'll get to 100. If he did, forget about it. I mean, it's totally done. It's totally done.
Yeah. He's at what, 83, you said?
80 and a half. So he 9 and a half this year. And the last time he was healthy, he had double-digit sacks. So he's got a shot. He got a good shot probably this year. And I don't know rotationally, and this could be good or bad. Like, he really can't afford to come off the field. You've got Benton Ogunjobi and him. And behind him, it's dicey. Montrevious Adams and DeMarvin Leals of the world. All right, you think Cam Hayward is Hall of Fame worthy? 412-928-9370. We've got Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette coming on at 9 o'clock to talk about a huge series between the Astros and the Buccos at PNC Park starting tonight. Right? What did I say?
Oh, the Astros.
As the Diamondbacks. Callis, you don't have to correct me in my ear. You can just zap me whenever I screw things up. So the new NFL kickoff rule debuted in the Hall of Fame game, and it's very complicated, and I am out on anything that's complicated. I just want to watch football and not have to read pages and pages of rule book to understand what the hell's going on out there. But then I saw, Doran, that the Chiefs have considered and are considering putting Justin Reed, the safety, as their kicker so that they have 12 coverage guys instead of, or 11 coverage guys instead of 10.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I guess it does.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, if you could teach a guy how to just pooch kick, I mean, you're not kicking off like a normal kickoff where you have to have the leg and have to have the, you know, the production of doing that. If you could teach a defender how to pooch kick, you can have an extra weapon.
Do you think Chad Ochocinco is ticked off?
No, because he is definitely not tackling anybody.
Oh, good point.
He's not tackling not one person.
That's so true.
No.
He don't want to run down there and do that.
No.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
50-minute mark of the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette going to join us to talk about this massive series between the Bucks and Diamondbacks. He'll be with us at around 9 o'clock. Jason Mackey texted me the other day. So actually, it's 2 weeks ago. And I said, Mackey, we haven't hung out in a while. Like, we need to grab a beer. Yeah, all right, we'll grab a beer. Perfect. He texted me a few days ago. He said, what's a great date spot around us? And I mentioned a local brewery. And he said, they have food. I said, they got food trucks. And he responds in a vile manner, a mean manner, profane manner. F food trucks. I never get to take my wife out on a date. I want to go to a place where they serve food. And I said, oh, I thought you were being cute and you meant for a date that we were going to go on.
My goodness.
I thought Mackie was saying, hey, where are we going to go on our date?
He doesn't want to hang out with you.
Why is he asking me? I know we live near each other. Why would anybody ask me where to go to get some grub? I don't go anywhere anymore. I got two kids. It's all on lock. I don't do anything. I go to bed at 8 o'clock every night.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it was a hilarious miscommunication. I also do not like when people ask me for recommendations like that.
Why?
A lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure because if they have a bad experience and it's on you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially if, and I was just reading the tea leaves here, Mackie not getting a lot of daytime. Need to go to a nice place.
Yeah.
We know where that leads.
Yeah.
What if the food's no good? What if the service is bad? Mm-hmm. What if the place that I know is good is having a bad night and it's not good and you get the bloat or something like that and then the thing that you had planned for later in the evening doesn't happen? Then it all comes back to me.
Right.
I don't like the pressure.
Right.
Like, our big boss texted me yesterday. He was in Morgantown and he asked about a place. I was like, it's really good. But then I was hoping, oh my God, I hope it's really good. If not, it's still my bad recommendation for me.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Where would you take Mackie on a date?
Mike's Beer Bar or Riley's Poor House?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. A little beer date with Mackie. With Mackie.
And I'd make him drive. He could be the DD. And then I could guzzle some brews. Yeah. I thought he was asking where we were going to go on a date.
Did you really?
I did.
Just like messing? Oh, wow.
I really thought that. And then he waited a really long time to respond to me. I think he was weirded out by it. His cohort, Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette, his colleague, going to join us next. Big series. Are we going to see IKF tonight? Is he going to make his Buccos debut? We'll talk to Andrew Destin about that next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high 84, 85% chance of rain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.